Just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter number 10. Again, we've been there last Sunday, and then 2 weeks before that on the Sunday morning and Sunday night as well. Matthew chapter number 10, as we look at these verses. I appreciate all the songs, congregational, choir, special, all the songs have been sung. And I'm glad we sing songs that are the truth. Amen. Amen. Songs that have the truth in them rather than just some feel good or maybe just sound good. These are things you can actually, as they say, you can sink your teeth into. Amen. And you can get some help from these. Looking in Matthew chapter number 10, I actually started, if you remember, a few weeks ago there in chapter 9, with verse number 35, and we saw our Lord issuing his prayer request. And I almost had us read all these verses today, but I don't think I'm going to do that. We'll just jump down. We've got down to verse 23. We've looked at the first 22 verses of these as we've gone along. I hope that as we look at this today, we'll get some help in this. We talked about being commissioned to serve. In other words, Christ gave the prayer request, and then in verse number 1, he sent them out. It's not on? Maybe the battery's dead. Nope. Okay. All right. Thank you. yeah, that sounds better on my ears as well. All right. So we're talking about commission. He sent them out, and then he conditioned them, gave them the conditions of what they were to do, where to go, where not to go. Then he gave them courage, and we looked at that last week. He gave them some encouragement. Now, he starts off, look at verse 16, and this is where we started off last week. I'll just mention this. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Just stop right there. Ain't that encouraging? Sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, wolves have got some vicious teeth. My, what vicious teeth you have, Grandma. You remember that? The wolves have got vicious teeth. They've got vicious claws. Matter of fact, they've got vicious character. Sheep don't have any of that. Sheep don't have a protection. Sheep don't have a defense. Sheep don't have anything to be aggressive with. So he's encouraging them, giving them confidence or encouragement. Today we're going to deal with a little bit more of that. Look at verse 22 is where we're going to pick up, or verse 23. We ended verse 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. That's encouraging too, ain't it? But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Let's pick up verse 23. We'll read it responsibly going down through verse 28. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jacob, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, yes. Yes.
Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Jacob, for that prayer. Today, I'm going to preach on this thought. I've been looking at these things and to serve. Today, I'm going to preach on confident to serve. He gave them courage, and courage should cause confidence. But it's not confidence in ourselves. There's two places we need confidence if we're going to serve God. Number one, we need confidence in Him. Number two, we need confidence in the message. Right. If you really believed that Jehovah's Witnesses were right, then you'd be spreading Jehovah's Witness false doctrine. If you really believed that the Mormons were right, you'd be spreading Mormon doctrine. But if you really believe that Christianity's right, then you should be spreading the Christian gospel. That's what he's dealing with in this. We should be confident in him and confident in the message that he's given us. Now, we've been looking at this conversation that Jesus had with his disciples, preparing them for the message of the kingdom. Again, I must say that this is in a different context than the day we're living. And yet, even though we're not limited as to who to go to, we're not limited as to these areas that he does, we don't have the same prescriptions about raising the dead and healing. We don't have all that prescription. Our job, yet we see so many similarities in so much teaching that actually lays down the groundwork, and it continues on when he sends them to all the world and when he sends them to preach the gospel, to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were not preaching that in this day when he sent these disciples out two by two, but that is the message that we preach today. But here's my point. Jesus is preparing them to go. He's going to send them out, and in that preparation, Jesus was honest with them. He was bluntly honest. That's the right word. Yeah. He was bluntly honest. He spoke to them honestly. He spoke to them about realistic things, and he spoke to them about the troubles that were coming. He spoke to them in seriousness. He didn't hide from them what they might expect as they were going out. Now, he wanted them to know that the job that he's going to give them is worthwhile. It's worth them doing what he's going to send them to do, but it's not going to be easy. Matter of fact, it's going to be anything but easy. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be difficulties along the way. Matter of fact, there's going to be controversy that's going to come up as they go forth. And just as an aside, the day we're living in, with social media as it is, there's going to be all kinds of controversy about the gospel ministries in our world today. We see that happening already. They're attacking churches. They're attacking different places. I know of at least two occasions, one in the state of Kentucky, one in the state of Tennessee, that they sent cameras out to a church as they were going out there to, quote unquote, question the pastor in the midst of a meeting. They wasn't going when they could, you know, call ahead and schedule a meeting so they could ask him questions. They go out with cameras when there's a crowd going, when they know he can't spend time with them, and it looks bad when he says, go back and come another time. And they, you know why they do that? They do that purposefully to make things look bad. And then those videos go viral. And they attack churches, and they attack ministries, and it's going to happen. Jesus tells them that it's going to happen, and so he wants them to be ready. But here's a thing. Our mission is a worthy mission, and yet it's going to take work to get it done. There's going to be opposition. So our Lord wanted them to be aware of the difficulties that they would face. Amen. Now let me just interject this, and I think this is relevant. Josh Rickard and I talked about this, not in this context, but in other things. We're living in a day when people want the easy road. Can I say to you that very few things worth doing are easy. Very few people become successful easily. Right. And I could give all kinds of illustrations. Let me just give one. A lot of people say, for example, and this is carnal as it can be, but I'm preaching to y'all. Y'all understand this. They say Michael Jordan, that's different than Michael Jackson. Michael Jordan, I never have seen Michael Jackson dribble a basketball yet, or dunk one either. But Michael Jordan was, they said he was the GOAT, you know, the greatest of all times. He was one of the greatest. There's about 1,000 greatest of all times. It can't really be, but one greatest of all time. But anyway, they said about Michael Jordan that he was the greatest of all time basketball player. He had innate ability. I mean, it's almost like he grew up with a basketball in his hand. But I'm going to tell you, he spent hours and hours and hours, year after year after year, training. Amen. Even when he had the ability and he's playing college or when he's playing professional sports, you know what that man's doing? He's training. He's training. You know what he's doing? He's working at what he's doing. I'm just simply saying this thing about getting the gospel out, it's going to require some exertion. Amen. It's going to require some getting out of our comfort zone. It's going to require some determination. It's going to require some being committed. Amen. And I'm not going to be preaching on committed right now, but I will, Lord willing, maybe tonight, talk about the fact of our needing to be committed to this work. But I say life is not just coasting to the finish line. Life has a lot of hills to climb. Life has a lot of long stretches. You're going to have to walk and work and sweat. You're going to have sweat, blood, and tears if you're going to succeed in anything in life. And that, by the way, that's not just in the physical life. That's in the spiritual life. Jesus saved these people and he said, but you're going to have trouble. It's not going to all be bed of roses. It's not going to all be sunshine and song. There's going to be some spiritual enemies. There's going to be some physical enemies. There's going to be some opposition that we face. So having said that, just in introduction to this being giving us confidence to serve, human nature and human depravity are unchanged through the centuries. In other words, in Jesus' day, he said there's going to be opposition and there's going to be in this day. That's what he's talking about. Human nature. Doesn't matter what country you're in. Doesn't matter what century you're in. Amen. It's the same in every culture, every country, and every century. Human nature and human depravity. Times have changed since Jesus was on the earth. But if men have changed, they've waxed worse and worse. I think that is right. Amen. And so that's, we just have to face it. There's 3 points I want to deal with today in my message this morning, and I'll have subpoints under these, but give you my thought if I can and get out of the way. First of all, there's the presence of opposition. Now, this is giving us confidence. There's presence of opposition found in verse 23. There's the principle in opposition in verse 24 through 25. And then there's the priority through the opposition, and that's in verse 26 to verse 28. So looking at this, the presence of opposition in verse number 23. Look with me at that verse number 23. Jesus said, but when they persecute you in this, by the way, he didn't say if they persecute you. When they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Jesus warned them about opposition. He warned them in the previous sermon. When we look back there at verse 16 through verse 22, he warned them about opposition that they would face. And now he is reminding them of this opposition. Now, let me say something about this. He's telling them there's going to be opposition, but he's also telling them, but I expect you to go on anyway. That is a big point for us to face. You probably face this with your children. You tell them to do something, and it's too hard. Yeah. By the way, I mean, they start out, hopefully you start training them young, when really it is hard. I can remember as a boy growing up, and I talked about Dad had the hogs and raised all that corn, and me and my brother, we shelled it by hand. And when you start shelling corn, it don't take long for your thumb to get sore. Right? You know what happens if you quit? It's going to always be sore. It's going to always be tender. Right? I'd use that as an excuse why I couldn't wash dishes. It'd give me dishpan hands. I got to have tough hands to be able to shell that corn. So I grew up shelling corn, but not washing the dishes. But you know what you do? You shell and it produces a blister. You know what you do? You cry about it, but you keep shelling. Amen. It gets sore and it gets hard, but you just keep on because it'll produce a hardness and it'll produce an ability. I'm just simply saying there's going to be hardships. Jesus didn't say quit when the hardships come. He said keep going. You might have to go somewhere else, but keep going.
Amen.
Amen. So there's the presence of opposition. Some subpoints under that. First of all, there's the certainty of it in the first part of verse 23. But when they persecute you in this city. Again, he did not say if they persecute you. He emphatically stated they're going to persecute you. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. Persecution will come. He wanted his disciples to be ready to face that persecution. Amen. One of the things we told our boys, particularly when they're going to work, is that you're going to be facing people that have different beliefs than anybody you've probably ever faced before. You're going to face people that are hard in their sin. And they want nothing more than to pull you into the same thing. You've got to warn them about that. Amen. There's a warning. Jesus is warning his disciples about the certainty of the persecution. Amen. If you've served the Lord any length of time, you know you've already encountered it. No doubt about it. You have encountered the fact that there is opposition. Doesn't matter the smallest thing you do. There's some kind of opposition that you're going to face. And we've not faced opposition like they did in the early church. Here in America, we've been pretty well blessed. If the worst we get is a cussing, right. This week we went visiting. Matter of fact, Brother Jacob and Miss Elizabeth went with us. We had a bigger crowd than we've had in a good while, and we went through an apartment complex and covered the whole apartment complex. Amen. Had more people there than usually in those many doors that we knocked on. We had a lot more people there. But I was going to say that Brother Duncan knocked on a lady's door. We could all hear what's going on. And he knocked on this door and he said, we're from Island Ford Baptist Church. And she said, I'm not interested. Big loud voice like that. He said, have a nice day. She's already shut the door. He said, have a nice day. And he starts running. She opened the door. What did you say? She was not planning on having a nice day. It offended her. But if that's the worst we get, that's really not suffering. But there are places today, and I believe it's coming more and more in the day we're living in, it's coming where they are making what we speak, they're calling that hate speech. What we represent is a intolerant religion that cannot be tolerated. Amen. In their way of thinking. So, amen. So our Lord's telling them in this, there's a certainty of the fact that you're going to face persecution. Paul said this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. We know it very well. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You faced it somewhere or another, either among friends or among family. And you face it in dealing with, but there's coming a day that persecution may have a sword attached to it. May have a knife attached to it. May have a gun attached to it. But that day is coming. But Jesus didn't stop with this certainty of their persecution. He went on to talk about their responsibility in this persecution. Look at verse 23 again. He says, but when they persecute you in this city, here's the phrase, flee ye into another. Again, I touched it already, but there's a responsibility. Jesus tells us that we're not done when we faced our first criticism. We got to keep going. Amen. He gives them the details about what they are to do when this rejection comes. He says, flee to another city. Amen. I appreciate the fact Jesus did not say, stay there and suffer under that persecuting hand. He didn't require them to stay there under or in the presence of the persecutor. He didn't say to Duncan, go in there and sit down at the table with that woman that was fussing so much. We could have said that. Of course, he had the keys to the vehicle. We'd have been in trouble. But seriously, Jesus didn't say, you got to stay with them. But he also didn't say, you attack them. He didn't say you retaliate with angry words. Amen. He didn't say for us to stay or to retaliate, but here's what he did say. Move on somewhere else. If they don't want your mail, give the mail to somebody that will receive it. Amen. If they don't want your message, move on to somebody else that may receive your message. Amen. That's the point that he's talking about. Don't waste your time casting your pearls before swine. Amen. Don't waste your time trying to reach people that are not interested in being reached. Go to somebody that may have some hope of being reached. Amen. That don't mean we don't pray for them. That don't mean we write them off that they'll never be saved, but now's not the time. Time to move on. Amen. So they were not expected to remain among the persecutors, just suffering and tolerating their abuse. Neither were they to take up swords and fight against the persecutors. But he wanted them to proclaim the truth to as many as possible. Amen. When they were rejected, he told them to move to another city. Now, I put this note here. It should be noted that Jesus didn't instruct them to abandon their efforts and go home with the first experience of opposition. Amen. I'm reminded of a young man from Wilkes County, North Carolina. He's actually distantly related to me, that was a missionary to the West several times. He would go, and he would go to a town, and he would stay a few months, and then he'd come home. And it was, that happened, I don't know how many times. That happened a number of times. Either come home or go somewhere else. And finally one day he calls his pastor and he said, "We're coming home." He said, "Nobody out here wants to hear the gospel." Here's what his pastor said. He said, "Son, you're going to have to get used to preaching to people that don't want it." He said, "I've never met somebody that wanted the gospel." He said, "You're going to have to get used to preaching to those that don't want it so that maybe they will want it." God didn't call you out there to turn around and come home. If they don't want it, go to somebody else, but that don't mean go home. Amen. Here's the illustration. If you really care about them, when you're feeding those little children, those little bitty children, when you're putting it in their mouth, first thing you're starting them on a little bit of baby food, you stirred all that stuff up. It's always interesting. It can be green beans or it can be mashed potatoes, or it can be sweet potatoes, or it can be fruit, and it all looks the same, just different color. And you take that spoon and you put it in their mouth. You know what they do? They spit more of it out than they swallow. I probably said this. You don't throw the spoon down and say, "You idiot, you'll never learn to eat." No, you don't. You scoop that up off of their mouth and their chin and their table and the floor, and you stick it back in their mouth. Yeah, you keep trying to give it to them because, by the way, they got to get a taste for it. Amen. Now, here's my point in this. Jesus is, not that he sent waste your time, but he said care about people enough to try to give them the gospel. Amen. Don't give up easily, but when you come to that dead end and they say, "I'm not receiving this," move on to somebody else. Move on to somebody else. So there's the certainty, there's the responsibility, and then there's the urgency in this verse. Look again, verse 23. "But when they persecute you in the city, this city, flee into another." Here's the phrase. "For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." Now that's not talking about the second coming of Christ, by the way. He's talking to them in this specific thing. He's going to reveal himself as the Christ to Israel. All they're doing is going to Israel. But he said, "You're not going to be through every city before I reveal myself to them." He may be talking about coming to Calvary, but at least he's talking about the fact that he's going to reveal himself as their Messiah. Here's what he said to them. His time was short. He only had a few days. He only had a few months, maybe a couple of years, that he's going to reveal himself to them as their Messiah. They're going to reject him. But he's saying to them, you hurry and get the message out, because there's not a lot of time in getting that message out. Can I say to you that we have that same urgency? Even though we're in a different dispensation, our life is only so long. The lifespan of those we're going to have to try to reach is only so long. There needs to be an urgency to our responsibility to give them the gospel. But also the fact Jesus is coming the second time. So there's that first point there, the presence of opposition. Then there's the principle in the opposition. Verse 24 and 25. He says the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Now, in that phrase that Jesus gave them, he is laying down a principle. Not just a promise of opposition, and really that's not a good word because promise is for something positive, you would think. But he's letting them know there is going to be the presence of opposition, but there's a principle. No matter what the opposition is, the principle is you don't need to be like them. You need to be like your Lord. Amen. Don't allow their anger to make you angry. Don't allow their brashness and brazenness make you brash and brazen. You be like your Lord. That's what he's saying. Amen. Amen. So he's saying you're going to face opposition. When you do, it's just natural for you to feel like you're treated unfairly. Jesus said, just remember how they treated me. That's really what he's saying. Don't think it's unfair. If God's perfect son suffered persecution, shouldn't his imperfect sons face a little opposition? If his holy son, his divine son, faced opposition, his only begotten son faced opposition, shouldn't those that have been adopted into the family, been born by the Spirit of God, expect to face some opposition as well? That's the point that he's making. And Jesus reminds us, by the way, he said, you're not above your master. There is a level of authority. Really, without saying it, he's saying the master is above his servant. But he also suffered above what his servant's going to suffer. We've not resisted unto blood yet. Right? It talks about that in the book of Hebrews. We've not resisted unto blood. And I say yet because many have and probably will before it's all done. Amen. But our Lord is saying to them, don't let these feelings get in your mind and in your heart and in your life that you think that I have been treated unfairly when somebody persecutes me. He reminds them and us of the extreme persecution and suffering that he went through. The extreme opposition. They called him Beelzebub. I mean, what worse? I mean, the very devil himself. They called the God of heaven. They called him the worst evil name they could think of. Don't be surprised if they think up some evil names for you that you ain't thought of. Really? He's telling them about the extreme, and he wants his disciples to keep in mind, we're serving him. Amen. We're serving him. Therefore, we may have to suffer as he did. I forgot who, I think it was in Martyr's Mirror. I was reading sometime recently, in the last couple of weeks, in a book somewhere. One of the men made this statement. I'm pretty sure it's in Martyr's Mirror. One of the men made this statement to his wife. That's as it was. He was writing a letter to his wife, and this is what he said. He said, we may suffer. But he said, if the head went into heaven through suffering, must not the body enter into heaven through suffering? Paul encouraged us that through much tribulation we might inherit the kingdom of God. We may have trouble, but we're not any worse troubled than our Lord. We're not even anywhere near as troubled as our Lord was. And so he's given them this principle, laying that principle down. We may have to suffer, but it's okay. By the way, when you think about our Lord, he suffered, but he was not a victim. He did not die as a victim. He died as victor. Right? Amen. Wake up. He died as victor. He didn't die as a victim. We might have to suffer and we may feel, don't get the victim mentality. We're living in a world full of the victim mentality. I talk about how little children say, it's too hard. Grown men cry that way today. Lord, help us. Every little thing that comes along, there's the victim mentality. And you gain points for having more victim issues in your life. You seem like you gain points. Jesus is telling these people, don't get the victim mentality. We're not like a victim. We're like the victor. Amen. Don't look at Jesus that they took his life. They didn't take his life. He laid it down. And even though they may take our life, we ought to be laying it down for his glory. Amen. And for his honor. That's what he's talking about. Amen. So don't get that victim. Let me get my note here. I said, it seems to me that this generation especially sometimes fantasizes that life is supposed to be a stroll in the park or a bed of roses. We would do well to arm ourselves spiritually and psychologically to remember that the perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ, faced difficulty, opposition, persecution, and temptations. That's all part of living in a fallen world. But we don't have to live depressed. We don't have to have a downcast attitude. Amen. We can face the reality that troubles will come, but it's okay. Because he's on the throne. Matter of fact, I'll say it, I think it's a good way. Troubles will come and will go. They'll come to pass. Amen. Thank God they'll come to pass. So Jesus wanted his disciples to recognize and have the frame of mind that we're following him. We're going to follow him through the difficulties. We're going to follow him over the obstacles. We're going to follow him against the oppositions, tremendous opposition. We're going to follow him, and we're going to follow him gladly. Take up your cross and follow me. Amen. Jesus said this in John chapter 15, verse 18 and 19. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Jesus told us that to encourage us, to give us confidence. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Amen. Here's what he's saying, just in a nutshell, in reality. When they curse you in Jesus' name, you bless the name of Jesus. Amen. When they get angry, you just get happy. Amen. You just get happy. So the disciples, by the way, they learned this lesson well. You read the writings of John and James and Peter and Paul. Every one of them, every one of the apostles, wrote about sufferings. And he wrote about being happy when we suffer. Amen. Here's what our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Jesus said, listen, don't lose your Savior. Be happy. Rejoice when troubles come. So we ought to guard against getting the victim mentality. It do as well to read Fox's Book of Martyrs or Martyr's Mirror. I really think Martyr's Mirror is better, but it's over 2,000 pages. It's harder to read, harder, older English. Maybe read Tortured for Christ. Some of the things there from the Voice of the Martyrs, and some of them. Read about men and women that have suffered, some of them severe. And by the way, not only are on this day suffering severe, severe persecution in China, in Muslim countries, in Russia. Yeah. Places that the Catholics are still in control. Amen. There's suffering, persecution. We would do well to arm ourselves by reading some of that. And I'll just say a study of history, particularly religious history. If you read about the Waldensians, oh my goodness. If you read about the massacre of Bartholomew's Day, the Bartholomew Day massacre, it'll open your eyes to know, listen, this ain't no stroll in the park. Nobody, by the way, this Bible costs people their lives for us to have this in the English language we could read. least we could do is give our life to let others have the same thing. Amen. That's what he's talking about in this. So let me go on. In this thing about the persecution, last week I had three sub-points under that about the persecution that I was going to mention. I'm just going to throw them out today. I'm not going to preach them. There, you'll face opposition. Verse 17, you'll face opposition from organized religion. He said, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. He's talking about organized religion may be against what you're doing. Then there's opposition from oppressive rulers, verse 18. And you should be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. So there's organized religion, there's oppressive rulers. Then verse 21, there's offensive relatives. Verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. And the father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Jesus warned us that there's going to be opposition. That's the point I'm making. Amen. So there's the presence of opposition. There's the principle to be remembered. Now, last of all, there's the priority through this opposition, the priority of it all. Verse 26 through 28. And it continues really what I was talking about earlier about maintaining our mental focus. Can I just say this? We're living in a day, a lot is being said about mental health. We have a less healthy mentality today than we've ever had. Why is that? Because mental health is tied to spiritual health. You cannot separate them. You cannot separate them. Mental health is tied to spiritual health. And when the spiritual health of a nation declines, so does its mental health. Psychological things, in many cases, are spiritual things. And we've let these quote-unquote Christian psychologists or even these secular psychologists run rampant in our world, but they do have a truth. They hold a truth that they hold in unrighteousness, I believe. All right? But here's the point I'm making. The way you think is important because it'll affect the way you act. Just like what I was talking about being strong and not give in just because it's hard. Get that mentality. Harden, strengthen yourself mentally. I've got to get up and go to work. I've got to do my schoolwork. I've got to wash the dishes. I've got to potty train this child. None of that's fun, by the way. But it's got to be done. I've got to do these things I got to do. I've got to. I've got to go to church. I've got to go spread the gospel. I've got just steel yourself, strengthen yourself in these things. But our Lord's talking about the way they think. Now, I want you to see it. I want you to see it. He said that the disciple's not above his master, verse 24. Don't get your mind up too high. I think that I don't deserve this. Why don't you deserve this? Do you want to be like Christ? That's what we say. I have decided to follow Jesus unless somebody says something bad. Unless somebody refuses to listen to me. We said, I want to be like him. I'll tell you how we're going to be like him. We're going to have to suffer a little bit like he did. Amen. So he's wanting us to have a mental focus. Think correctly when we face this opposition. By the way, one of the reasons why the martyrs in the Dark Ages, a lot of them didn't have a copy of the Bible, not a whole Bible. But they would memorize what they knew, or they would fall in love with what they knew, and they would grasp that to their heart. But they believed that God was in control, no matter who sat on the throne, no matter who won the election in November, no matter what governmental power was going on, they knew God was in control. And they knew that if trouble came, God had to have allowed it to come. And they was willing to face it for Jesus without sucking their thumb and without feeling sorry for themselves. They was willing to face it because they knew God was in control and that somewhere along the line the cloud would lift and the sun would shine through again. Amen. They knew that was going to happen. We've got to arm ourselves that way mentally again. We have been so pampered till we're like a bunch of them pictures on the Pampers, babies. In our world today. I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm like brother, using a little bit different way, Brother Kirkman said, I don't have to try to be mean. I'm just mean. he said he don't have to try to be nice. He's just naturally nice. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just simply, that's not mean, by the way. It's just truth. One of the biggest things America needs is some men, not boys. Boys can become men. Amen. And we don't need women becoming men, but we don't need a bunch of babies. Men don't need to be babies. Ladies don't need to be babies. We need some parents grow up and take responsibility. Amen. All right, that's another story. The priority in this opposition. First of all, there's a certain awareness that we need to have. He wants us to have these things in our mind. First of all, a certain awareness. Look at verse number 26. Words of our Lord now. Words of our Lord. Fear them not. You could stop right there and say hallelujah. Don't let your mind be overcome with fear. You say, how do I stop it? Go to God. The moment, listen, this will happen, this will work with temptation and this will work with depression. When the devil brings those things to your mind, you immediately run to Jesus. You immediately run to Jesus in your mind, start thinking of Bible verses, start quoting Bible verses, start leaning on the Lord, start talking to the Lord. And I'll tell you what the devil will do after a while. He'll quit trying to throw them things at you because he knows what's going to happen. You're going to run straight to Jesus. Yep. So Jesus instructs them not to fear. And he's instructing us not to fear our opposition. Let me read the verse. I just started. Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. He said, don't fear your opposition. They may cause us physical harm. They may slander our name. They may confiscate our earthly belongings. But the truth always ultimately prevails. Amen. This thing ain't about me and you anyway. It's about the truth. It's about the truth. Remember that if you're saved, your soul is secure in Jesus. All the curses they sling at you can't hurt you. Amen. I'll just say it this way. All right, we're headed towards, people are already putting out their Halloween decorations. Getting all excited about Halloween. There's more said today about witchcraft than there's ever been in my lifetime, at least. Right. More been said, and we have met people in Knocking Doors that have said, I'm a witch. Brother Philip and Miss Evelyn had a woman trying to pronounce a hex on them. This woman was saying, get them, devils, get them, devils, get them. You know what they did? They didn't run. They just laughed and walked away. Now, not that I don't believe devils are real. Not that I don't believe witches are real. By the way, there's no such thing as a good witch. Don't let the Wizard of Oz or C.S. Lewis fool you into believing there's good witches. There's no good witches. Witchcraft's evil. Amen. The Bible says he suffered not a witch to live. Amen. It's not saying we go out and kill them. That's a governmental job supposed to be that they're taking care of that, but they're so infiltrated with witchcraft they can't do it. Amen. But anyway, get back to that. This thing about witchcraft, it is real. I do believe devils are real. I do believe witchcraft is real. But we don't have to fear even the devil himself if we're walking in the power of Jesus. Amen. Listen, gangs, there's gangs that are terrible. But God's bigger than gangs are. Government may have power, but God's bigger than governments are. Amen. Satan and his horde of devils may have great power, but God's got more power than all of them put together. Amen. I really believe that. I really believe it. Jesus is trying to strengthen us. There's a certain awareness. Listen, we're serving the Lord. And by the way, let me read that verse again. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. You know what he's talking about? He said, there's a judgment day coming. You don't have to be afraid of what they do to you today. They better be afraid when they face your Father on Judgment Day. Amen. Amen. So there's a certain awareness. Judgment Day's coming. By the way, we can rejoice in that. Amen. We can rejoice in that. Somebody came to me and said, Preacher, you're going to be called up before court to testify with a lie detector test on whether or not you've cheated on your wife. It wouldn't bother me. I ain't cheated on my wife. Amen. I ain't got nothing to fear. Because I ain't done wrong. When it comes to judgment day, if you've not done wrong, you don't have to be afraid of that. You can be confident. We can have confidence. Paul wasn't afraid of judgment day coming. Paul looked forward to that day when that righteous judge handed out the judgments. He looked forward to it. Amen. But the ones that have done wrong, they're the ones that better be afraid. And so Jesus is saying to them there, have that certain awareness. Amen. Then have a certain boldness. Verse 27. But what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Amen. Jesus does not want us to cower in fear. I've said it a number of times. He don't want us hiding in a foxhole somewhere. He does not want us to hide our candle under a bushel, afraid of what somebody's going to say. He wants us to proclaim the truth in the midst of opposition. Let our light so shine, among whom he shineth lights amidst a crooked and perverse nation. Amen. He wants us to shine. He's instructed us to proclaim publicly what we've heard in secret. Now, what's the secret? Well, there's a couple of ways you can take that. First of all, you ought to have some secret time with the Lord. You ought to have a secret place with the Lord. Amen. Where just you and him can commune. Where you can talk to him and where he can talk to you. And what you hear in that secret place, don't be afraid to go tell it publicly. Amen. Or you could have it, we're in a secret place, so to speak. We're shut out from the world, although we're broadcasting over the radio and the internet and all that kind of stuff. Yet we're in this secret place, and what we learn, what we hear, we ought to speak it boldly. Amen. Spread his truth publicly. By the way, he doesn't teach us these lessons only for ourselves. He wants us to share them with others. That's one of the reasons I think Sunday school is important. You don't just get the sermon from the preacher. You get to hear what other men and women have been studying and looking into. Amen. I really believe, personally, I believe Christians ought to have more fellowship than we do have. We ought to have time where we are actually sharing with one another what we've thought on, what we've studied about, what we're learning ourselves. What we hear in secret, we ought to be sharing it publicly. So there's a certain awareness, there's a certain boldness, and last of all, verse 28, there's a certain faithfulness. Look at what he said. Verse 28, and fear not them. There that is again. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus knew the proclivity of these disciples would be to be fearful at the words he's just pronounced. When he says to them, there's going to be opposition, certainly. When he says, don't be surprised by it, don't be stopped by it. They had a proclivity to be fearful. And by the way, we have the same proclivity. We have the same proclivity. I know what people have said things like this. For example, they say, I'll tell you what, when they come and start killing Christians for spreading the gospel, I won't back down. I'll stand for Jesus. And then they ain't even there Sunday night. Or Wednesday night. Or revival meeting. Or door knocking. Or prayer meeting. I'll stand. Listen, I'll tell you, I don't know how you'll stand. I really don't know. But you got a better chance standing then if you're already standing now. Right? If you wait till then to get up, chances are you'll find an excuse. Because it'll be real, real convenient to find an excuse not to stand up then. All right? Jesus knew their proclivity. He knew that about them. He knows that about us as well. But he said to them, he warned them, and he warns us, reverence God more than you fear men. He uses the word fear. Fear them not, he says in verse 26, and then in verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He's telling us, listen, you better have a greater reverence for God than you have a respect or fear of man. Amen. Respect his power. Respect his ability. I go back to what I said earlier. Gangs are something to be fearful of. They're coming in more and more. They're not just coming in from the southern border. They're rising up even among us. And I'll just be honest with you, open borders hasn't worked well for Europe, and it's not going to work for America either. You have walls on your house for a reason. You have doors. You have gates. Amen. And by the way, a lot of these politicians that are against the wall, they have walls and gates in their own property. Yeah. Just like they're against you having school choice, but they don't send their kid to public school. But this is where I'm going with that. It's going to get worse. It's going to get darker in America before it gets better, more than likely. And we've got to get our mentality focused on, I got to start shining the light now while it's easy to shine, so I'll still be shining it when it gets harder to shine. Amen. Amen. I've got to obey the Lord today and show reverence to Him. And by the way, like I said, gangs are powerful, and we might have to fear them. I'll just use one more thing. I try to use a little bit of wisdom. When we go out door knocking, for example, men and women go, We try to primarily have the wife with her husband rather than having just women go. And if we can't see them, we're in a dangerous day, friend. Yeah. Melissa and I went to, when we were knocking doors, several months ago, maybe it was last summer, I don't remember. Sometime a man came out, nothing but his underwear on. He was embarrassed and we was embarrassed. But I don't know why he'd come to the door that way. Do you? No. And I mean, that's scary, that's bad, but there's danger. I mean, there's real danger in our world today. So we do have to use some sense about us. Jesus sent them out two by two, not one by one. Two by two. Amen. And there may be some places we have to say, all right, we can't go back in that neighborhood. Or we can't go back down that street. There's a street here in Madisonville. The lady came by, brought the track back, said, don't ever come back by here. Amen. They've got all kinds of goons out front. And they've had them there all year long. And they just put them up this time. They've been there all year long. All kinds of big giant goons and gals. Not G-A-L, you know. Anyway. We may be afraid of gangs, but we better respect God because God's bigger than gangs are. We may be afraid of government, but we better fear God more because God's bigger than government is. Amen. You may be afraid of the ungodly forces of evil, but there's a God in heaven a lot more powerful than those evil spirits are. I want to serve Him, don't you? Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. There's this today, I preach on confident to serve. You got to get your mind thinking right. You got to look at it in the right focus. Are we going to obey Him? Are we going to obey God rather than man? Right? There's some things we don't do. We're talking about, we don't put tracts in mailboxes. That's against the law in America. It's all right everywhere else, but in America, the land of the free, you can't put tracts in mailboxes. That's federal property. You can't do that. So we don't do that, but that don't stop us from going to their door. They don't stop us from leaving it in their doorway or telling them. My point is, use some wisdom, and if they say don't go this way, then find a way you can go, bring honor and glory to God, reaching out to the lost. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word this morning. Help us, dear Lord, that we might receive it. Help us to be ready, not hiding in the sand or, being ignorant of what's going on and not having some pie in the sky, just fantasy that everything's going to be a stroll in the park. Lord, help us remember we're in a wicked world. It's a fallen world. There's devils around us. And men are waxing worse and worse, no doubt about that. So opposition's going to get worse and worse. But Lord, help us to shine for Jesus in this dark hour. And help us, dear God, not to fear man, but rather fear You and obey You with the gospel message. Lord, I pray, move in this invitation time according to Thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.